Oh, here we run to it. I also keep some programs in there, programs that I need to get to frequently. Remember, Lawrence was talking about disk utility and how he needs to use disk utility a lot? Well, let's go put disk utility in my side folder. We're going to go to applications. Where is disk utility stored? He's going to try and make it better for us. I can't get it any better. It's in utilities. Okay, what one did you do?
It's called focus.
I played with the focus right here.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
What did you play with, seriously, Sabrina?
I just did the zoom, and that's as good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
Now, if you back it up behind this desk over here, you'll do it like that.
I could do that. And I could move my purse out of the way. You want to hear me, my purse?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, let's go on. Okay, so now I'm going to take my disk utility and I'm going to put it over here. So now I can get to disk utility very easily, no matter where I am. If I need disk utility, it's right there. The other one that I keep in there is my network diagnostics tool. Have you ever been on your computer and all of a sudden it says you're not connected to the internet and there's a little button there that says network diagnostics? That's your friend. Now that actual program is very deep within your computer. And it's also in a library. So I'm not going to tell you how to get there. But the next time it starts up, and I'm going to start mine up just a moment, because I also keep it down in my dock. When that comes up, what you want to do is at that point, click and hold on that window down here and tell it to, in your place, it's going to say, add it to the dock. Okay? So once it's in the dock, then I can show it in the Finder. And there it is. And now I'm not going to remove it. I'm simply going to go find that thing. And I'm going to put it in my side window. And it was called Network Utility, Network Diagnostics App. So it belongs over here because it's something that I use all the time. So you can put any program you want over there. You could put Word in there instead of having it down in your dock. What happens when this thing gets too big? It gets a scroll bar on it. Now, I find when it gets too much down there and it gets a scroll bar that it's not quite as useful.
But you can put it in the Finder instead of leaving it in the dock? Say Word.
Well, how many things do you need down in your dock? You know, I get to people's houses and they have their dock so full of things that they can't find things in their dock. Word you probably would leave in your dock, but things that you use frequently but not quite as frequently is another place to put things. It's up to you. But there are ways to make your computer easier to use. Now, look at my dock. Down here I have this thing right here. It's a pop-up. And it's all the applications in my applications folder in a pop-up. And that's in my dock. I don't really have to even open my hard drive and go to an applications folder to get into that. So that's another way of getting into it easily without having to go exploring. But let's go back and clean up because I really left a mess for you guys to see. Yes.
What's the distinction between the four icons on top of the line and those below?
Okay, these icons up in here are the icons that have to do with networked drives. On your computer, you might have the Macintosh hard drive. If you have a .Mac account, you might have your iDisk. In my house, I also have two networked drives. And I have that new airport. And the greatest thing about that new airport is that I can have two USB drives sitting up on a shelf. And I can get to them anywhere in my house. I don't have to connect them to my laptop. One I use for scrapbooking. Because one of the things I really enjoy is doing scrapbooks. And I do them all on the computer. And that involves hundreds of graphics. Thousands of graphics. So I have one hard drive that's just full of that. The other hard drive, this FireWire 800, that's my backup drive. And I found I was not as good about backing up my computer every day because I had to take it down, I had to go to the office, I had to plug it in, and then I was constrained from moving around for the next however long it took to back it up. This is a little slower, but I can be anywhere and I can back up. There's no excuse for it not to back up every day. And now I am backing up every day, and I'm not going to lose anything. But that's that new airport. It's the Airport Extreme Inn. Yes.
Okay, that's a new piece of hardware.
That's a new piece of hardware. It's from Apple. It came out at the same time the Apple TV came out. It's an inn. It's cheaper than the old Airport Extreme. If you guys are thinking about getting an airport network and you say, but I can go down to Staples and I can get one cheaper, I'll tell you the secret. You can get one cheaper from somebody else. But administering those things is the worst mess you've ever seen in your life. I don't know anybody who can't administer their own airport and probably can't set it up by themselves. There's very few people who can't do it. In fact, when people call me and say, would you set up my airport network for me? The first thing I say is, walk through the thing, and if it works at the end, then we're finished, and I don't need to do anything. If you have trouble, I can fix it for you. And most of them walk away, and they're coming back, and they say, I don't need you. I did it myself. If I have somebody else's network, like a Netgear router that they only paid half the price of the airport one, how much do you think they pay me to fix it? And every time it needs to be updated, they need me again. And I keep telling them, you pay a little bit more, and you won't ever have to pay me. You buy the other one, and you're going to pay me again and again and again and again. And the savings is gone within one visit. Yes. Yeah. What I use Apple's backup. I do use backup. I have Retrospect on my computer. I have two or three other backup utilities because I have to be able to show people how to use them. But the one that I use every day is Apple's backup.
Every day they just add, it just adds new stuff?
What it does is I did a full backup the first time, and then it backs up the differences.
For the incremental backup.
Right.
Since I've got a new fast drive, and then the slower one. Once I've done the full backup on the slower one, because it can't take advantage of the speed of the new extreme, but it shouldn't be a hindrance then to do the incremental backup each day with two different airport networks.
It really shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Yes.
Do you have any recommendations on backup hard drives?
I particularly like a company called Otherworld Computing. They have some of the nicest drives out there. And last month's Macworld magazine, they rated all the drives. The ones that they chose were the LaCie, one from LaCie, and the OWCs. The OWCs are much cheaper. They're in a case that I can open and replace. In fact, they sell just the cases. So when a hard drive gets too small, you know, it's time to upgrade, I just take that hard drive out of that OWC case and I put a bigger drive in. So I don't keep paying for the boxes. I go to maxsales.com, that's Otherworld Computing, and they have a ton of hard drives. Their warranties are very good. They're very good about sending them to you. Their technical support is excellent. You know, otherwise, if I go to the Apple Store, I tend to buy LaCies. Some people say they never buy LaCie, that they have problems with them. I've had no more problems with them than I have had anyplace else. And I they're a good product. Okay.
The way you have it set up wirelessly, the backup, do you need some other equipment for it to receive the...
I have my airport base station, and attached to it is that little network drive. It makes a regular USB hard drive a networked hard drive, and that's all there is to it. So backing up is really, it works. I don't have to do anything but let it happen, and it says, in 2 minutes I'm going to start a backup, and if I don't say cancel it, it just does it. And I try to ignore that thing, and I just let it do its thing.
You don't do it at night or something like that?
No, I don't, because this is a laptop, I tend to close it at night.
Yeah.
But other than that, it happens during the daytime. The computer's fast enough that it doesn't bother my computer.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you connect that back of God to the airport?
You have to use the newest airport, the airport, the okay. square one. And the directions are on there.
But I mean, is it hardwired or is it
It's via USB port.
Okay.
Yes.
And then there's a utility that
right.
tells you how to make all the
okay.
connections.
Okay, we want to get back and we want to talk.
The hard drive you're updating on is plugged into the airport.
It's connected to the airport. It's not connected to my computer.
USB.
USB. Yes.
If I understand you to say then backup after the first one does not. I've been terribly afraid that I was stacking up tremendous amounts of stuff.
There are some that do, but what we want is a backup routine that does the incremental backup.
Right. So Apple's does it. Now every once in a while I go through and I clean out the backups, and what I do is I keep my full backup and then I keep the first of every month. So, you know, in 3 or 4 months I'll go back and I'll say, okay, let me keep March 1st and April 1st and May 1st. Actually, March and April 1st, because May we're in. So probably in the middle of June I'll say, okay, I've got all those things, I'll throw away all the middle ones and just keep the 1 month.
Well, wait a minute. If you throw away the middle one, has it already been plugged into the big one?
Yeah, I've got my full backup, and then I have all that other stuff. You can always do another full backup. Okay. It wouldn't hurt to do a full backup every once in a while.
So I guess I'm confused. You're talking about throwing away these others.
The incrementals.
You're doing a full backup each month.
No,
if you throw it away, you wouldn't need to do a full backup.
I'm trusting that the things that are on my computer, if I haven't needed them in the last month and they're still there, I don't need to go back to my backup.
So the incremental backups are doing everything since the full backup.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah,
right.
Everything since that full backup. It does the changes. It backs up the changes.
So if you did an incremental in March, and then you did one in April.
No, I do one every day.
But that still refers back
to the main
initial backup.
Right. It refers back to it refers back to the day before his backup.
Okay.
But when you throw away everything but March 1st, and then on April 1st. It finds the things that you threw away?
No, I'm doing it a couple months back. So I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it on April 1st. I'm going to throw away the May. Okay, let's talk about May. I'm going to throw away my Mays in June and July probably is when I'll throw away my Mays. I've got a big hard drive. I don't need to worry about it that much. But eventually I've got tons of them and I can get rid of some of those others.
But what are you throwing away?
The changed files have been backed up. You can always go back and do another full backup if you're concerned. I found that those things are still on my hard drive, and so I don't really need to do it. Okay, let's go back and let's get back to this at hand. So over here we threw this thing away. Now these guys belong someplace else, and I we're going to leave those for the moment. Adobe Acrobat Pro, what is that? It's an application, right? So I just can drag it right over there and put it in the applications folder. Beautiful Arena, by the way, that's a free drawing program that's wonderful. Look it up on the internet if you'd like to draw. Beautiful Arena. Okay, these are some games. So what I need to do is I keep my games in a separate folder, so I need another drive window. So I'm going to click over here, and that didn't work in this case, so I'm going to say a new Finder window, and this window we're going to keep back over here. And we're going to go to the Applications folder, and we're going to open up my Games folder. Remember to click the icons, not the names. Bejeweled is a game. It's going over here. Call Me, that's an application. That's going to go there. Dictionary. This is what this gentleman had yesterday. He had programs from Apple that were out on his main hard drive. Well, when you install an update, it puts another copy of the dictionary there. if you throw away iTunes and you update your system, the computer's going to go back and it's going to put iTunes back on your computer. It's from Apple. Apple says you need it. You can throw it away. Actually, you do need iTunes. There's a lot of uses for iTunes besides what you think there are. So if it's from Apple, don't throw it away. Just leave it there. So that needs to go back to my applications folder. I'm going to get a message. There's another dictionary app right there. It didn't say I have a newer one or an older one. It says I have one. That means they're exactly the same. If it said there's a newer one in here, should I replace it? I would say yes. If it said, if there's an older one, should I replace it? What should I say?
No.
No, throw it away. In this case, I could replace it. I'm going to say stop. I'm going to throw it in the trash. What was that keystroke I used? Apple delete, and it goes away. Okay, this is a web location.
Doesn't it go away if you just push delete?
No, it does not. You have to push Apple delete to get files and folders to go away.
To go
to the trash. It's Apple delete. It's not a simple delete.
You have to highlight.
Email, you can get it to go by highlighting it and pushing delete. Applications are a little different. Files are a little different. Okay. So this thing, this Dr. Mac, let's go back and do this. File juicer. That's an application, right? How can I tell their applications? There says app at the end of them. If it doesn't, if I go over here to get info, it will tell me it's an application. So now I know that that needs to go to my applications. It's a game. It's going to be games. Font book. App. So I can put it in the applications folder. There you go. So you just go through. Aha! This one I moved out for a reason. This one requires a password. That means that it's something from Apple, and you shouldn't have the right to move it easily. So it's going to make sure that the administrator of your computer is putting it away. So you put in your administrative password, and I say OK, and then it put it away. Graphic Converter, another app. Okay, I made such a mess here.
Now, what's the difference of the app? You moved it to the app in the left-hand column, the other ones you moved to the app in the...
No difference. Okay. It's much easier to put them over here in this thing than having to go find them in the right-hand column, right?
Right, but you move some into the right-hand column.
These are all games. They're in my applications folder, but they're another folder in called games.
So those are separate folders. The folder and the app.
Okay, so yeah, let me do this. Let's look at this thing. Here. How many times do you want to know where something came from and you're not sure exactly where it is in your hard drive? You hold down the Apple key and you go click on this little icon up here and it'll give you the path. So this is on my MacBook Pro in the hard drive in the applications folder, and then there's the games folder. That's my path. I could then choose this and move out to the applications, so I can back up that way.
What did you click on?
The Apple key. All these commands either are going to be Apple or Option. So when you're trying something and you've forgotten what it is, try the Apple key, try the Option key. It'll be one of those two. Okay, so now we want to get back into this games folder. We want to make this window smaller. Oh, are we out of time? No, we got time still. Okay, FileMaker Pro. Remember I told you I have how many FileMaker Pros?
Four.
Why?
Different
versions. Do you need FileMaker? Yeah. Okay, Mac Janitor, that's another application. We were talking today about these utilities things. You can download a million of them. You needed them back in the days of OS 10.0. You don't necessarily need them today. The more you mess with your machine, the greater likelihood that you're going to mess it up unless you really know what you're doing. There's that stuff at Deluxe. I didn't bother to update it. Occasionally I need it. Okay, there's that. Teach Mac, let's get that over there. Watch Apple Pie stuff. Where do you think that goes? How about in my documents folder? about scrapbooking page ideas. That's to do with pictures. I store those in my pictures folder. Quick and backup folder. Where does that belong? Belongs in your documents folder. I have one already exists there. It's exactly the same. Because no, you do not want to date your Quicken folder. Let Quicken do that for you. You just want your name on your Quicken folder. You don't want to be. The other thing that I get paid a lot of money for doing is people who've got 5,000 Quicken files and they can't find their latest Quicken.
Quicken.
Quicken. People have messed up their Quicken. They have 5,000 files, 5,000 backups. They've opened up a file. It was an old file, and all their latest transactions are gone. The next time they open Quicken, it's that one. You need one Quicken file. You need one backup file. If you've got thousands, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You need to fix it up. Yes. Or do you have a Mac OS 9 computer or OS 10? You don't have to worry about it. In fact, you can buy these programs that will defragment your hard drive, and it'll make it all nice, and it'll pack everything right to the hub, and 2 hours later your computer will look different. In OS 9, we needed everything packed together. In OS 10, it's Unix. Unix wants space between programs. It works totally differently. You want space blocked on your hard drive, and it will take care of taking care of files. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you're using your computer, and all of a sudden you see that there's something going on in the background, you wonder what it's doing? It's automatically defragmenting your drive. It takes care of that stuff. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you go to shut down, it takes a couple minutes to shut down your computer? Your computer is fixing itself in the background. The same thing when it's starting up. If it starts up slowly, it has some work to do, and it's saying, be patient with me, let me get my work done. Okay. This one is exactly the same. I'm going to say stop. I'm going to throw this away. Am I? Nope. I'm going to put this on my desktop, and I'm going to do a little exploring. Scrapbooking tutorials, that's pictures, right? So that goes back there. Okay, let's see. Latin class pictures, those need to go into pictures. We've got to get this cleaned up, guys. We've got stuff to do. Mac Mania class materials. I think that's a document, don't you? Mac Voices podcast. By the way, how many of you guys listen to podcasts? How many of you guys listen to Mac Voices? Mm-hmm. Mac Voices is a great one. The guy, Chuck Joyner, came to the Pi a while back, and he actually talked about Mac Voices. I'm one of the regulars on Mac Voices now. Mm-hmm. One has been up. Hopefully this weekend we're going to do another one. Okay, so now we're back up here. Let's see. I've still got a lot of stuff to put away. Databases by Pat. That's another document, right?
I don't know where you put that podcast, but in iTunes, there's a podcast folder. Would that happen logically?
It happens automatically. Okay. Let iTunes take care of iTunes. Let iPhoto take care of iPhoto. Do not go messing around in there unless you really know what you're doing, because you're going to mess it up.
Okay.
So those are folders that you just stay out of.
So where you have a podcast here, that's...
That's my folder.
Okay.
That I've put a special icon on, so it's easy to find that.
Oh, okay.
Same thing with Dr. Mac stuff that goes in my documents folder, and obviously I need to keep my Dr. Mac stuff over here so I can get to that easily. And I also need to keep my Mac Voices stuff easily out here, because I'm always working on that stuff for the podcast. So those belong out here. So now I can get into the Mac Voices stuff, the notes for the next podcast, and all of that are right there. Doesn't matter where they are, I've got them. Okay, let's go back. You can use that back button. We're going to go back to the Macintosh hard drive. It's looking better. Guitar. Okay, so now it's time to iStock photo. Those are pictures, right? I organize. That's some documents. Pi-filling CD. That's actually in my documents folder. Mike's Cards, that's another game. There we go. Okay. We're going to take the rest of this stuff and we're going to put it on the desktop. Remember what my desktop looks like right now? Let's do an F11. I've got all this stuff out here. What do I need and what do I don't need? Well, when I'm going to give a presentation or I need to clean my desktop up, I go and I make a new folder. And I call that folder Desktop Clean. And I put today's date, 2007-05-26. Okay. Now, and I didn't, it's misspelled. You have to live with that, guys. I'm going to dump this other stuff in there. Okay, all of that can go in there. It didn't go in. Back up there, guys. We want to grab all this stuff and put it in there. Okay. There we go. Let's put that in there. Put that in there. Now, my hard drive is clean. And I have a date, so I know when I cleared it off, and I can go back through it, and I can find that stuff. But we want to come out here, and we want to drop some stuff back onto the desktop here. Those we want to put on the desktop. We want to put that on the desktop. We want to look at these. We need to work with these. And we need to work with these. When you open your hard drive, that's all you should see. Four files.
Could you make aliases of those?
No, those have to be there. Actually, I said when you open your desktop, when you open your hard drive, so we're going to close it. F11 to get rid of everything. Okay, now it's not going to show me because I've got to do the F11 to get it back. Let's see if we can find that window. When I need to look at Windows, I can look at Macintosh every. Come on, we're going to look at Macintosh HD. We want to look at in this view. That's what it should look like when you open your hard drive. Anything else there needs to be put away.
What does F11 do?
F11 makes everything in your desktop disappear, and you can see the everything, and you can see the desktop itself brings it back.
Why do you need those on the desktop?
Those are the things that were put there by Apple, and those are that's the organization. Applications.
Over at the side too.
Right, because this is simply aliases of this.
Oh, that's automatically makes an alias.
Anything that's stored over here is automatically making an alias. But I can't get rid of this. I can't put that anyplace else.
I got you. That's okay. Not necessarily on your desktop.
No, this is on the first level of my hard drive.
Okay.
When you open your hard drive, that's all you should see are those four things.
Yeah.
Everything else should be put away. Now let's go look on my desktop, and we want to talk about things that I see all the time. On people's desktops. Does everybody know about this thing in view? It's called Arrange by Name or Cleanup? We're going to arrange by name. View, arrange by name for the moment.
What does Cleanup do?
Cleanup just sort of.
Same thing, arrange by
name. Simple, okay. Similar, but it doesn't necessarily do it by name. So the reason we're going to look at this is. Right here, I have a disk image and I have the application. When I open Guitar Log, which I downloaded this morning, I get this guy right here, which is that representation of a hard drive. And this is what's inside that hard drive. What should I be doing with this thing? Put it in your applications. It will copy it to your applications folder. And it was so small, it copied very quickly. Then you close this. You put this guy in the trash.
You have to drag that.
I could have. Yeah, you have to drag that one, or you have to click the. We'll show you another way to do it. Okay, this one on my desktop. I've got it in my applications folder. I don't need that anymore, right? Do I need this guy? This guitar log? This disk image? I downloaded it. It's a version 1.1. If I need a new version of it, I guarantee there's going to be a new one out. It's a brand new piece of software. He's going to be fixing things. You don't need those. Throw them away. Okay, so here I've got WM components, that one, and that one, and this one. Which of those should I keep? You have to be able to, you have to be a wizard reading decimal points, right? Nope, they're not. There's a little tiny someplace. There's a little tiny number in there.
Why do you need any of them?
Well, if after I've installed the program, I don't. What do you do with those guys? Apple delete. They're gone. Mac Gizmo. What are we going to do with it? Oh, wait a second. I have this one for a reason. Here. I have this one, and I have this one. We were talking about zipped files. When I downloaded it, I got this Mac Gizmo zip. When I double-clicked on it, I got this Mac Gizmo here. To use the program, I have to open it up here. It's opening, although we can't see it. There's this piece. This one has an installer, so I need to run that installer. I have no idea what Mac Gizmo is. I'm not doing it. I just downloaded it so we could talk about it. It's going. I'm going to throw away the zipped file. I'm going to throw away this file. I'm going to throw away this file. Apple delete. This guy I can either drag to the trash can, or I can open any Finder window, and I can click this little gizmo right here. And it went away. That also unmounted that drive. Okay, so now we're here. Snaps Pro. This is one that I do keep an extra of, and I'm not sure what I did with it. The reason being that this is, I'm a beta tester, and I keep the last working version and the new one that they've just given me, because if it doesn't work, I need to be able to go back one level. Unless you're a beta tester, you don't need to keep two of these. You can throw the other one away. So we're going to throw that away. These are the Pi Fillings discs. I'm guilty. These are two things that I tend to leave on my computer screen all the time because, don't save that, because I tend to work on those all the time. You know, this is a never-ending project. So, yeah, I really should get everything off my desktop, but I don't. There are a few things I leave around. Okay, so now let's go back and let's look at, that's the website I need to go back and visit today. This needs to get put away. That's the directions to my house. Okay, I've got to do Ethel. No, I don't have it yet. What is going on here? My hard drive isn't opening at the moment. Ah, it's because the window's down here.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I left it down there. It was down there. So this is a document. Who's in charge of what your documents folder looks like? Not completely. There are some things in there that you didn't put there, but they were put there by the programs to store the things that you need to make the program run. If you throw away Acrobat user data, you're going to get it back in an instant. You have to have Acrobat user data. So we're going to come back in. We're going to get back to this view. We're going to go back to documents. Come on. I want to be in this view. There we go. So you're not totally in charge of this. Adobe put some stuff in there. AppleWorks put some user stuff in there. A lot of programs put their stuff in there. My IC Word data files are right there. My notebooks for Circus Ponies are right here. So it automatically files its things where it thinks you want them. I can put these on my desktop, but I do find that it's nice to keep all those notebooks together. Somebody asked me recently, you talk about Circus Ponies notebooks, do you really use it? Do I use Circus Bunny's notebook?
Where do you keep that?
It's automatically kept in your documents folder. Unless you tell them to save them someplace else, it puts them in there.
It just sort of puts them randomly.
No, it puts them in a folder called notebooks. It automatically puts them there. Okay, so it's a program that I use for taking notes. And it's a program that's always running on my computer because I keep notebooks full of information I need to be able to search frequently. We'll get back to that in half a second. These are some directions to my house. It would be best probably if I had a special folder for that stuff called personal stuff. And I do keep my directions over in my personal stuff. So you can have as many subfolders as you want. You're in charge of that. But why is it so important not to save things out at that first level of your hard drive, like documents? Usually when you're backing up your user folder, right? I would not have a backup of it if it was on this first level of my hard drive. Things stored out here are not being backed up if you're backing up your user folder. Yes, they are not being backed up.
What's the difference between those? What is the user folder? I've never really understood that.
Okay, so we're going to open this users folder. Okay, on my computer, I have two users. I have Pat and I have Test. On my iMac, I have Pat, I have Ron, I have grandkids. Everybody has their own place. So that when the grandkids are playing, they can't throw away my documents. We have some control on there. They can't get to the internet, to places they shouldn't be. That's an environment that's controlled for them. Test I use because when my computer's not working, I start up Test and I see if it would work in Test. If it will work in Test, then I know the problem is in my user folder. If it doesn't work in Test, then I know that there's something wrong with my system or the program itself. So that's a real quick way for diagnosing what's wrong with the computer. You get to be a power user when you're into that. If you're not there today, don't worry. Eventually you might get there. If you don't, that's all right. You don't. Some people use their computers as a tool, and some people use them as a play toy. You have to find the difference. I have a client who never does anything on his computer but organize his computer. He writes some email, and he takes a couple pictures and organizes his computer. His wife makes him so mad, she says she won't do anything but Word and Mail and iPhoto. And she doesn't spend much time on her computer because all she wants to do is get in there and get it done. And he's all right and she's all right. They have different uses.
They have different computers?
They do now. They used to not. They do now. Okay, so now we're going to open up Pat. Inside Pat, which is your specific user folder, are all your things. Now, obviously, I've got things out here that I took out for you guys. If it's Photoshop stuff, it probably belongs in my documents folder, right? I don't have to go, let's go back out. I don't have to go back and open up the documents folder. I can just drag them across and organize it. Furniture for the new house, that's definitely documents. Passwords, that's definitely documents. Night pool fix guides, that's something I saved, so it's a document.
Excuse me, Pat.
Yeah.
You see that's document. Is that your specific user documents folder?
Yes. All of this over here in this side, if it's got an icon on it with a picture on it, that's in your user folder. Right, whatever user folder.
Those are the same thing. The documents over there on the left and the documents up there.
Exactly. Exactly the same thing. This is a shortcut to this. Okay, so recipes, where would I keep those? Probably in my documents folder, right? Okay, a new recipe exists. Uh-oh. Stop. There's something different. I don't know what the difference is. I'm going to put that on my desktop, and I'll go investigate that later. You don't have to. If you don't know, put it on your desktop, because then that reminds you, I need to clear the things off my desktop. I need to go explore that. Tyler and Sean, that's pictures. So we're going to put that away. Pictures. Untitled folders. What if you open up the untitled folder and there's nothing in it? What do you do with untitled folders? Trash them. I can't believe how many people get. Okay, so now database examples, past collection. That's obviously documents. A movie. Where do you think that goes? Down in my movies folder. Articles I wrote. That would obviously be a document. I can drop that there, same as going to the site. That's what your user folder should look like. Yes?
This computer has two users. Can you move that users folder to two folders, won't be on somebody else?
Okay, if I went, okay, Macintosh hard drive, I opened up my users folder, there would be two folders, mine and somebody else's. We're going to go now to this view. We're going to look at Pat's, and there's all those things. My test guy has the same things, but you can see I'm locked out of them.
Is there any way to get the password from a granddaughter who's 13, and you want to see what she's doing on the computer? She visits.
You can always put in your CD that came with your computer that's got your operating system on there, and you can change passwords to whatever you want, but you can't change it back to the password that she had. For our children and from our grandchildren, we require that their password be their name. And I don't tend to go into their stuff unless I have a reason not to trust them. And I usually tell them, I'm not trusting of what you've been doing. We're going to sit down and we're going to go through your user folder right now. And then they get the message. And I tell them that if the user folder is not set to the name, their name, that it will be eliminated and anything saved on it will be gone. And I've trashed a few of those. And they've lost some documents. And that's fine because I'm the boss, right? Thank you. I'll keep being the boss. Okay. When I back up, I actually back up my user folder instead of I back up my users folder instead of this one right here, my Pat folder, because in some of your things, if you're using America Online, there are things out here in the user folder that are very important to you. So if you use America Online, or you have multiple users, you actually want to back up this whole folder rather than just your particular user folder. Okay, so is it hard to keep your computer this way? Not really, because you have your desktop to put things where they don't belong. If they're on their desktop, they are in your user folder and they will get backed up. What do you do about the trash? Right. If you don't want it, you put it in the trash can. And you should be able to empty your trash at any time and know that what you're throwing away is gone.
Recommend that secure trash?
I don't. The reason I don't is because I know that there are some utilities out there that I could go back and I could retrieve those if I haven't securely emptied them. If I was throwing away my Quicken data, as I will eventually when I see that Quicken data over here that I'm not sure what it is, that I will secure empty. I will put only that in the trash and I will secure empty it. It will override it 7 times so that that data is no longer available to anybody else. So only financial stuff is the only thing that I secure erase.
How do you do that?
Well, let's make a folder right here. We're going to go a new folder. And we're going to now take this folder and put it in the trash. And I have to come over to the Finder and I have to go to secure empty the trash. It can't happen over here. Do you remember in Mac OS 10, 9, and 7, and 8, if we had something that was locked, how did we get rid of those files?
Option.
The option key. In 10, you don't do that. You empty the trash, hold the option key down, use this pop-up, and use that to empty the trash.
Okay.
That's option key.
The option key. That's the only way to get those locked files to disappear. That's your get rid of locked files. You could also get info on that item. Let's go do a get info file, get info, and you can see that I could then lock this folder, and then I couldn't get rid of it. But I don't tend to do that.
Can't save to it. You don't want to do your quick and data in a locked folder because you can't.
Exactly. Locked files are pretty much, I try and not use them because they cause me all sorts of grief. Okay. Now, I said we'd talk a little bit about email. Oh, boy, I left my mail in a terrible state for you guys. Okay. So on my computer, I have multiple mailbox accounts. How many of you have those? You can roll down and you can see all your various accounts. I tend to keep mine rolled down because I use each of these as a separate item. I don't ever look at my mail this way because I need to think of these, and particularly these, as being two different things. Okay, that being said, we're going to look at this mailbox. And in this mailbox, I have 1,572 unread messages. I can tell you that when you get to 1,000 to 2,000 messages in a folder, mail isn't very happy with you. And right now I actually have 2,241 items in that folder. So what I need to do is to get rid of some messages. Now if I scroll down, I have all of April's and all of May's messages in here, a couple of February's too. What am I going to do to organize those messages? Well, over here I have a bunch of folders, and you can see that they're out of alphabetical order, because if you put a space in front of something, it's going to organize on the space and then the name. But in this case, I have one called Old Mail, and I have my mail from 2005, 2006, and 2007. Inside 2007, I have folders for every month. So I need to make a new folder. I'm going to click here. What is this little gear down here for? You see it down here right at the bottom? That's a pop-up, and I can then say make a new mailbox, and it's going to make it as a division of this mailbox that I had highlighted. So I'm going to write 04, and then I always put a dash, and then I put a P-R-I-L, okay? And then I put a dash, and then I do 2007. Okay, so now I have a new mailbox. I'm going to go back to my main mailbox, and I'm going to go find April. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Why do I have so many email messages?
People hate me.
It's not because I'm a pack rat. It's because there's all sorts of information that I get that I need to be able to find again. And mail is very good at being able to find things in these mail messages. So I'm going to highlight that one. I'm going to hold the shift key down. I'm going to drag down to the bottom of this. And I'm going to see those couple Februarys. I really want those to stay there. Those, for some reason, I want in this mailbox. Not sure why, but I do. And now I'm going to simply come over here and find my April. And I'm simply going to drag all of these to that April.
Why are you keeping all that mail?
Because in that case, I get a lot of technical information, and if I need to figure out how to fix a problem, I probably have a message that involves what I'm a computer consultant. So mail to me is a source of knowledge.
So then you can search on it.
I can search on it.
It will search your hard drive collection as well as the...
It'll search whatever is in mail someplace. And I can determine what's going to be done. Okay, now, wait a second. I just emptied out 1,000 messages out of my mailbox. Now, my mailbox is going to run very slowly for a while. When you make a major move or if mail is running slowly, you want to go highlight your main mailbox there, and you want to go to mailbox and go to rebuild. And it's going to rebuild the directory of the mail. And you can see everything disappears for a minute. and it will go through and it will rebuild that mailbox, and it will act much faster as I need to access messages. Yes.
When you move all those emails
uh-huh.
to a new folder, and say you kind of bumped your arm and dropped it into the wrong folder, can you
Command Z.
Command Z. Command Z. That I can undo the whole thing.
You can undo it. So I could go back and let's see what happens right now. Edit. I could undo the move. Now, I've rebuilt that mailbox, but I can still go back and I can undo the move of those messages. Command Z is your friend. So, and it works more than in Word.
So, Pat, so you had approximately 1,000 messages, and you weren't going to read them, but you want to be able to access them.
Right.
And how would you access them?
Okay.
By particular name or...
Okay, so now he wants me to be able to search this message. I'm going to highlight that mailbox, and I'm going to say find... Let's see, what are we going to find? iPhone. I-P-H-O-N. In that mail, no, there's no problems with iPhones.
Does this have to be in the...
There's no tunes...
Address or subject, or are they also looking at the...
I'm looking at the entire message now.
Okay.
Now, it found all those messages that have to do with the iPhone. Now, what if I needed to search since January for iPhone? I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to type in iPhone again.
Nope, not misspelled it.
I-P-H-O-N-E. And I buried it again. In the, okay, now there it won't work. That's a mailbox without messages. It contains messages. If I'm going to search since January, I need to highlight this one. And I can use the Apple key to select individual things. I can use the Shift key to select them in a row. Now I'm going to type in iPhone. I-P-H-O-N-E. And you can see all the messages that have to do with the iPhone since the first of the year. So you can select multiple mailboxes to search through.
Can you change that mailbox up at the top of that with a... where it says selected mailbox?
I can go to all mailboxes, but no, I have to select it before I start.
You can't select it up there.
No, I have to do all mailboxes or select them before I start. So, that being said, let's go back and let's look at April's messages. One of the things that I do typically after I put them back in here is I go back and I do subject. And now I will find all the things that are QuickTime VR digests. And if I look over here, I have a folder that I keep my QuickTime VR messages in. And I will do this. And I will hold down the Shift key. And I will drag out the QuickTime VR messages. And then I would drag out all the PayPals and all those various things so that what I'm left with is just the stuff that's sort of unsortable. And that's probably the most important ones because those are messages that defy categorization, but they've got important stuff in them. So that's how you organize email. You can have as many different subfolders as you want. You can take off mail and put the sorted out by year. But in general, you really don't want your main inbox to be containing 2,000 messages, and after today I will go back and I will do some more sorting and I will get that down. Oh, somehow I did an undo and I got all those back in again. Let's see what happens. Edit. Nope, I can't do that anymore because I've done too many other things. Let's go back and let's get my April messages back out of there. I will do that later. So now let's talk about iPhoto. We talk about iPhoto all the time, and we use it all the time. And people say to me, my photos are such a disaster. They're such a mess. What do I do? So here's the disaster. No, those are my grandkids. They're not disasters. They're my sweeties. And these two little guys, people who know me know that these little guys have been living with me since January, and they'll be with me a while longer. Their mom's in the hospital having a new baby. So the first thing I can do is I can see that Apple Apple has nicely arranged my messages by year. But that's not very helpful. What I want to do is I want to view them by film rolls. And a film roll means the last time I either drug pictures in or the last time that I hooked up my camera. And in this case, I drug a picture in this morning of the boys that was taken at some studio. Okay. When I got all the Easter pictures for at our house, there were probably, I don't know, there were probably, starting at Easter was here, and it ended up being down, get a few feeling, I take a few pictures, that's the end of Easter. So that's hundreds of pictures. So what I did was I made some rolls, and we looked through here, and you see that I've got all these pictures, and unfortunately I've organized this one so well I really don't want to do those because there's no way to organize those any better. They're already broken down into activities.
A question is, how do I save the library to an external hard drive? And I tried to move it and it says, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, you can. What you want to do, if you want multiple libraries, and I do have multiple libraries, let's minimize. Actually, we'll send this down to the dock, and we're going to open up my. Do you see? I clicked down in the very corner, and if I don't have one Finder window open, it will open up one Finder window down by clicking on the face down here, right there. That guy opens up a window. We want to go to my pictures folder, okay? And in my pictures folder, I have iPhoto Library and iPhoto Library Mac Mania. That was a cruise I went on last year, and those are in their own iPhoto Library. And I also have an iPhoto Library someplace. It's not on this computer. It's on another drive. That's all the pictures from Macworld this last year, or maybe I haven't done it. Anyway. So what I want to do is I want to use the Mac Mania library. So I have to quit iPhoto. What's the magic key on your Macintosh? The magic key. The option key. If I hold down the option key and I click on iPhoto, I get this magical thing that says, what do I want to do? It says, there's no library chosen. Because the option key says, let me choose. I can either create a new library or I can choose a library. In this case, I want to choose the Mac Mania library. So I want to come over here, and it's in my pictures folder. See the beauty of having these things at the side? I can quickly get there. I want to choose that one. And now it opened. What did I do? I chose the wrong one. Let's do that again. You close iPhoto, hold down which key?
Option.
Choose a library, and I open. That's the one I want, Mac Mania. Uh-oh. Somehow, a whole roll of pictures got in the wrong one. Uh-oh. So now I need to figure out whether those are in that other one. Okay, this is off the topic, but it's a very good teachable moment. I want to make sure I don't lose those pictures. I can simply come up here, choose that library. You see when I chose that role, the whole things were chosen. I can come up here to the file menu, and I can export. And then I can say that I want them at their full size. We want to use their file name. Export. I need a folder to put those in. So I'm going to make, do I make that new folder now or do I get to my desktop? Remember, we have this nice icon here that bounces me to my desktop. Now I'm going to make a new folder called misplaced Easter, yeah, type Earth beans, EASTERPHOTOS, create that, and say, okay, it's going to export all of those pictures out of my library, or out of there, onto my desktop. Now, over here, I can take this roll, and I can delete that roll. Edit. It's not there. I'll press the delete key. Where did it take those photos? They're in the trash. And this trash is separate from the trash on your computer, and occasionally you need to go in and empty it. In this case, I'm going to empty that trash, and that's under the, where is empty the trash? iPhoto, empty the trash. It's not an unusual place, because they want you to be thinking about what you're doing. Okay, I got those out of there. Now, this is my Geek Cruise library, and you can see once again that I have organized the heck out of this library.
But now, how do I put it on a CD? I mean, not on a CD. How do I put it on an external hard drive?
Okay, so what you would do is you'd either, if you were starting a new library, you would copy the library over, and you'd hold down the Option key and then choose the other library. Yes, we have to quit?
Five minutes,
okay.
Just like you did at the desktop, right?
Right.
Put a new folder on the hard drive.
On that other hard drive. Unfortunately, I don't have a hard drive that I can show you with. If I had a hard drive, I'd show you.
No.
All you do is, if I was going to move it, what I would do is I would simply drag my iPhoto library to the other drive and let it be copied over there. And then I would start up iPhoto with, which key is it?
Option
key. And I would choose the library, and I would be choosing my other drive. And then do the pointer. I'll try it again. Okay.
Related, if I want to put them on a CD, which either I want to be able to read on a Mac or onto a... on a PC.
It's two separate processes. For the Apple, when you want to export, you want to use the burn. And in iPhoto, let me switch back to my other library, because in my case, I have the Apple TV option key, and the Apple TV is linked to my main library, not to the Mac Mania library. So once again, I'm going to use pictures. I'm going to go find this main iPhoto library. I'm going to open that. Okay. So let's say I wanted to back up or send out all the Easter photos. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is, and the beauty of using these rolls and writing names and stuff on them is it's very easy to tell what's going on. Okay. Let's get back up here a little bit further and get this last few rolls in. Okay, that's what we're going to call the start of Easter. So I can then highlight all of these, hold down the Shift key if you're going to go right to the bottom, hold down the Apple key if you want to select individually, and then I would simply go to Share, go to Burn. The first thing it's going to ask you to do is to import, is to put your CD in. And that's so it can determine what size of CD you have. And if it's a dual layer CD, which this one would burn, then it would base it on that. If it was a DVD, it would base it on that. If it was a CD, it would base it on that. The nicest thing about doing it this way is that any of the albums, I could also come over here, and if I had a, let me do a new library.
This is only going to a person who has a Mac.
Right. Easter 2007. I make that new album. They can read the folders, but they can't read all the other stuff that's in there. Okay, I just made a new folder here that has all the Easter pictures, all 211 Easter pictures in that one folder. So I could now say I want to do the Easter pictures and the Colin pictures and the Christmas 2006, and I want to do that one. And I can now say I want to burn the CD. It would not only put the pictures in there, it would put the libraries on there. So I could go back and I would see all my libraries or any of the other gizmos that I did associated with those pictures.
So
But if you burn it to a CD and you give it to a PC person, will they be able to see the picture?
They're going to have to drill down to the library. So if I'm going to give them to a PC person, what I do is I select a whole bunch of pictures, and we're going to do just Easter. I'm going to select all. This is for a PC person. I'm going to come up here to the share. No, I'm not. I'm going to come over here to file. I'm going to go to export. And that will just put the CDs or the DVDs in a file, and then I'll use a burn folder and pass it out. Okay, we had a question over here that I said I would get to, and I haven't forgotten about you. We're going to get there right now. She was wondering whether she should... One second, we'll be out of here.
That's right.
She wanted you to know whether she should use Stuffit or if she should use Zip. So if I'm going to use Zip, and that's what you should be using, you hold down the control key, you click on that icon. There we go.
Which icon is
it? It's the icon for the folder. And then it says create the archive.
Oh, the icon and for the what I want to compress.
Right, and that makes your zipped file right there. And it's ready to go. And you haven't had to use anything else. And every PC and every Mac can do it. Thank you for coming and being with us today. We're going to see the rest of the year.
I'm going to make a suggestion. There's nothing in the journal.
Macro Expo, sometimes it's right there on the floor. The other great thing about Macro Expo is the amount of fun you get to have. Not just the 9-to-5 show. You get to meet people. You go to dinner with them. You have sometimes quite a few drinks with them, if you're with my wife and my girlfriend. Oh, God! Every time I say that, that's the face I get. They've had a couple drinks again. Ladies getting goofy. Yeah, probably talking about me. Yeah. There's all kinds of parties. We actually, we'll talk about our party a little later, but the party scene has really come back at Macro Expo, which is really kind of cool. This is a goober party with the BlackBerry. Go kill yourself now, dude. Paul Kent, who organizes Macro Expo, is a vice president. Brian G, in charge of Macro Expo, plays in this particular band, the Macro Expo Party. Also plays at our party. I'm not sure whose guitar that was, but it was kind of a cool guitar. Dave Hamilton from the Mac Observer sings at the Mac Observer party. Bob Lobitis also plays in the band. Chris Breen. Chris Breen describes his band as what they lack in ability to make up for enthusiasm. So that tells you what kind of band it is. They only get together once a year, so they're not that good, but they are quite loud. And least you think there are only geeks at a Macro Expo, there are oftentimes attractive ladies at a Macro Expo, so you know what? Hey, don't knock it. I hooked up at a Macro Expo. I found a wife. She's not special. Fuck, you know. Big and tall at a Macro Expo. There's all kinds of shapes and sizes. Now, Andy is holding in his hot little hand a ticket to the OMAC Life Party. I'm going to say about 6 years ago, with the downturn in the economy, parties stopped at Macro Expo. So we started our own. It's now become the biggest party at a Macro Expo. We held it at the Great American Music Hall. It's a really cool old venue in San Francisco with all kinds of folks who sponsor the party. Silicon Valley House Rockers, who's a professional band, a band called Kent's Band. We have food there that folks can nibble on. The world's most delicious chocolate cake. The only party you'll get chocolate cake at is ours, at a Macro Expo. This is a great venue. It's tough to see, but these are all balconies up there, so you can go up there. It's a little quieter. You can look down on the festivities. It's a better shot of it up there. A lot of folks love to hang up there and people watch. Again, there's Paul Kent, the vice president of IDG. Sometimes, if you're really lucky and you go to one of these parties, so one of the great things about this band is that they've got a four-piece horn section. These guys sound really, really good. They're a lot of fun to hang out with. Place is usually quite packed. There's, again, Andy, who shows up all over the place. And he sings, too. You wouldn't believe how good a singer Andy Nocco is. It'll blow you away, how good of a blues singer Andy. You see this short little fat guy walk up, you go, oh, he's going to screech. But there you go. What did he sing? Managed Boy. This was the party. He sang Managed Boy. Did an amazing job with it. Some folks dress up for the party. This is again Maurice Chevalier. Our friend Lauren wore his bowling shirt, so he doesn't dress up. These folks were from the Bronx, and they were now living in Iowa. Oh, you poor things. They were a very sweet couple. Again, this is our little friend Tucker. We don't usually allow kids at the party, but Tucker made an exception for it. He's a really cool kid. There was a film crew there last time. I think they were just scamming their way into the party. I think that's why he's scamming their way into our party. Written professional looking film here. You ain't got to work. I'll let you in. I'll let you in the door. Adam Hanks from Tidbits and his wife Tanya were there. Again, hot chicks. I'm saying, good looking girls up at our party. I don't know who the bald guy is, but and sometimes men get mauled by the same aforementioned object. I don't know what happened to Bill there, but Bill is not in any way liquored up or drunk. Bill is too, I think I caught him at the wrong time. This is Jane, his secret agent mode. These, on the, you can't see it, but right there, one of our really cool listeners is Ian McKenzie, who runs McKenzie's Candy Kitchen, Chocolate Kitchen, in Santa Cruz, California. He's a real live chocolatier. He makes hand-dipped chocolates. And he provides the chocolates for our party. One year they were playing poker with him. There's a bunch of guys playing Texas Hold'em with the chocolate. Some folks dress up for various reasons. If you come to our party, occasionally there's a ceremony of some sort that some folks will for no apparent reason, invite Chris up to see. Invite Chris Breen to come along and play piano. Invite David Pope, give him away. Invite Andy Anacco to perform a ceremony. Get up in I think they call these bridal gowns. Lisa and I got married at Macro Expo 2 years ago, just before our party. And a lot of folks thought we were joking around. Oh, that picture didn't come out. A lot of folks thought we were joking around, but these folks are friends of ours. David Pope is a friend of ours. Chris Breen's a friend. Andy Anacco is a friend. Andy. That little shiny thing? We actually had Andy deputize him as a legal minister in the state of California for one day, for one mirror. We had to go down to the city hall. He had to read an oath that sounded like the presidential oath. I swear to uphold the Constitution of the state of California. And he's looking at me like, dude, if I end up in Iraq, I'm kicking your ass. So he was duly sworn in as a deputy minister of the state of California, and he sweated blood over the speech, which he read off his iPod. He literally scrolled to his iPod and read the ceremony off his iPod. It was a lot of fun. It was a very silly thing to do, but I'm very, very glad we did it. There's David giving his speech afterwards, and there's Andy doing his, and Lisa's bridesmaid, best woman, maid of honor. John Most made us cry, and I'll never forget for that. We had cake. Cake was had. Pictures were taken. And then literally, right after the ceremony, we went ahead and had the party. we have the Great American Music Hall for the party from 8 p.m. to midnight. But the contract for the party says we have the bar from 5 p.m. to midnight. So we thought, what the heck? You know, because we both lived in Nashville, we knew we couldn't get most of our friends to come to Nashville for a wedding. But we knew all of our friends would be at Macro Expo. We thought, why don't we have it there? We didn't need to have church. We've got a room. Everyone will be there. We might as well do it right there. That previous picture, by the way, was the face I make when I'm dancing. I'm not a good dancer. It's the Irish in me. This is no fun. Andy Naka loves these pictures. All Andy's pictures are from 3 feet away because he handholds them all and takes those pictures. So every one of Andy's pictures always be. That was the exact same. And more chocolate cake. So if you get a chance, come on down to Macro Expo. Someone might get married. Some guy last year proposed to his girlfriend on the show floor. And you're reading about the stuff online, people are going, dude, that was nothing. Some dude got married last year. I never understood this shirt. I don't understand his hat. You can't see it. The pirate hat. The guy's earbuds on the phone, on the computer, and wearing a pirate hat. That's the kind of guy you need to learn at Macro Expo, because you're just a little unstable. And our friend Steve, again, Macro Expos are exhausted, so the very last day of Expo, the Friday afternoon, we always have our get-together with folks. Stories will be told. I will say something inappropriate, guaranteed. Chris Breen and Andy Adam Hanks will get way too comfortable for the venue. They have big, surprisingly big feet for small better than. It's not that boring. He may have been talking about Vista at that point. I'm not quite sure. This is Chris Green making the audience swear not to sue him. He'll make you raise your appropriate hand and say your name. I swear that long speech that he does. Basically comes down to, I will not sue you. The reason he does this is because someone did sue him one time. At a Macworld Expo event, he was tossing out something or other, and some guy reached up to get something. Someone else tipped the prize, the CD, whatever it might have been, chipped the guy's front tooth. The guy sued IDG, Macworld Magazine, Chris Breen, everyone in the area, sued him like $500,000 for stupid chip tooth. So now Chris makes you promise to never do that again. Well, we put a nice crowd. We give away a whole bunch of stuff. It's Friday of Expo, so folks want to give stuff away. Again, you can go to San Francisco. You want to travel around, at least according to our hotel. Not sure why. It's a great view. I didn't realize that you could get on the other side of the Golden Gate Hill. You've ever been there. Most pictures are taken from down here, this area over here. But there's a road that actually winds around back this way. Yeah, you can see the ocean even further over here. So it was a really nice day, a nice view. Rented a car, and that picture is not angled incorrectly. That is the street in San Francisco. It's literally angled like that up this street. It's just insane. We're going up one street and then down one of the most famous streets in the world, Lombard Street, supposedly the twistiest street in the world. I'm driving a Lincoln Navigator. Anything that big should be armored carrying the president, okay? You should not be driving a Lincoln Navigator on Lombard Street. This was a nasty. Ever driven Lombard Street? It's a nasty. It's fun, but it freaks people out. I think it's only about not even a full city block long, but it's this area here. The streets in San Francisco are spectacularly amazing. So is the architecture. It's one of the things I love about San Francisco. There's some beautiful, beautiful buildings, some great row houses, some great views, too, of San Francisco. Lisa?
Pointy building.
For some reason, she sees that. She says that. I'm not quite sure why. Pavlovian for her. Pointy building! I didn't realize, but we are, in fact, in Appleland. Not sure what they sold in Appleland, but... And then obviously, Lisa makes me go to Haight-Ashbury. Haight-Ashbury is not what it used to be, believe me. Now it's a bunch of kids banging on the streets. Nothing spectacular. I'm not eating here. I'm sorry. I see you change the name. I'm not squatting and gobbling on your place. That's just rude. We also got to go to the London Mac Expo. A little contrast in the American Mac world versus the London Mac Expo. Obviously, different crowd, same kind of stuff. Not nearly as big as the Macworld Expo, but a lot of fun. We really enjoyed ourselves. The Macworld UK, the magazine, is a major sponsor over there. For those folks who are photographers, control Mother Nature, increase day rate, make model hot, save weekend, decrease bride's mother, more pixels, just model's attitude. The best t-shirt I saw over there. Again, beautiful architecture, obviously, in London. I'm not sure what the sign means. Weak bridge ahead. Strengthen it, then. Make it a strong bridge. Speaking of bridges, we obviously went to all the usual touristy type places in London. A lot of fun. This is not London Bridge, by the way. A lot of folks mistake this is the Tower Bridge, not London Bridge. London Bridge is where?
Harrison City.
There you go. Harrison City, Arizona. When I told Lisa that, she was like, "You're lying." No, it literally is. Some guy bought it, moved it to Arizona. This is the Canadian Embassy. Being a proud Canadian, I had to take a picture of our agency. That's my home province. Anyone know what province this is? Boom! Nova Scotia, my home brother. Oddly enough, there was also a Texas embassy. and it turns out, I thought this was a joke. Texas says Texas embassy, restaurant and grill. But my wife, Lisa, who's from Texas, Texas has been a country 5 different times. It used to have its own embassy in London because it was an official country. Again, we get to meet listeners from all over the world. This is Michael Curtis. Remember their names?
Brits.
Oh, Simon on the right. That's Simon. She's just blowing under the tall black man. She's out with me. It didn't work. Read the sign. The Prospect of Whitby, London's oldest riverside inn, circa 1520. People have been drinking here since 1520. Since 200 years before this was a country. Guys have been walking in this place drunk. I just think it's cool. I'm a Canadian. I guess that's very cool. Had a pewter bar. The bar was pewter plated, which is absolutely gorgeous. There's all kinds of really neat pubs. The Shakespeare Pub, the Bag of Nails Pub, the Mad Hatter Pub, Shipwright Arms, the Sherlock Holmes Pub is actually a Sherlock Holmes Pub. This is the best one, though. Hum, Drawn, and Quartered, which I thought was kind of a funny name until I found out it was really true. They did, in fact, on this spot, hang, draw, and quarter people. I went to see Major General Harrison, hung, drawn, and quartered. He was looking as cheerful as any man could be in that condition. Central Pepys, 1660. And they actually did have a noose in the middle of the bar. I guess that was if you didn't pay your tab, they would string you up. St. Paul's Cathedral, I believe, the one nod, which I was too chicken to go up, I will admit. I avoided it as much as possible, but have to next time. Again, the Tower Bridge. This is interesting. The city of London is actually only about a mile square. It's actually a very, very small piece of land. We think of London as being the entire area, but the official city of London is only a mile square, and its boundaries are marked off by these dragons, the griffins, on the side of the road. So as you're driving along, and you'll see one of these griffins facing that way. He's protecting behind him, but behind him is the actual city of London. We walked on the corner, literally. Walked on the corner of Vatican. It was just right there. It's a lot more spindly than you imagine. It's oddly enough, it looks very fragile, which all the pictures I had seen, I assumed it would be a big, sturdy building, but this work, it's tough to see, this work here, it makes it look very, very spindly. Lisa had to call her mom from a true British telephone booth. I think this call cost about $40. It's expensive in the middle of it. I'm not sure. This says this roast ox flavor. And it had a flavor, I don't know if it was roast ox. I've never had roast ox, so I couldn't compare. But they had roast ox chips. I found it very funny. And this is the meal that completely disgusted my wife. I went to London to have this meal, and I wanted this meal, and I needed to have this meal. Steak and kidney pie. Ooh, I love steak and kidney. Are you giving me time, Mac? Am I done? Lisa?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. British Museum. British Museum Reading Room is a beautiful building. You can't take up books there. This is tough to see. It says 11th century BC. And you can literally touch this stuff. It was amazing how much stuff in the British Museum you could actually physically lay your hands on. All kinds of, obviously, Egyptian stuff. This is the Rosetta Stone. We met a guy at this pub called the Museum Tavern, who can actually read the Rosetta Stone. This guy was a scholar who actually, he couldn't apparently read a map, which I thought was kind of interesting. The King's Arm, the Kings and Keys, what a place to remind. This is the best pub shop. Yield Cheshire Cheese, rebuilt in 1667. They rebuilt 100 years before my country was even a country. 200 years before my country was even a country. And there's the proof. Rebuilt in the reign of Charles II, a continued succession in the reigns of all these folks. Well, next time I come back, I'll show you the rest of my slideshow. Folks, thank you very much. Or if you come for pizza with us afterwards, I'll do a personal thing afterwards.
Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome. You want my power?
Why don't everybody stand up for a second? These seats really get a 7th-inning stretch there and get the buzz circulating there.
Well, I retired.
Yeah. Work?
What's your name? Well, yeah, this
will
work.
You sure?
Yeah, I can just sit here and do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we got Lisa here. Am I saying that right, Lisa?
Lisa.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Just like it. Sean was added on at the last there. We didn't show it on the website, and so that's why you may not have expected him here. We was glad that he showed up and gave us his take on things. But we've got an expert here on graphics, and she's going to wow us. And we've got about 45 minutes or so that she'll talk to us. If you've got any questions, we'll take them in the end. Okay.
Sure.
It's all hers.
Well, thank you guys for having me. As most of you know, I have a website called The Graphic Reporter where I do free tutorials every week. Please feel free to take advantage of that resource. I've got a bunch of business cards over here on the table, so you can grab them. Oodles and gobs of free tutorials on here. You just click the tutorials link, pick your software, Photoshop, Photoshop Elements. That's the majority of what I write on. And there's just tons of them here, step by steps with all the screenshots. Everything that I'm going to go over today is on the website. So if you want to take notes, you're more than welcome to, but you don't have to, because I've already got everything all right here for you.
We have a quiz afterwards.
There will be no quiz afterwards. And one of the many things that I do is I'm also the chief evangelist for iStockPhoto.com, the world's most fabulous resource for royalty-free imagery. And by royalty-free imagery, I mean that you purchase an image to use one time, you pay one fee for it, and it's yours. You can use it in as many projects as you want, as many times as you want. And it's a really fabulous resource if you need imagery for anything, whether it's for your business, it's promoting your company, if you're a designer, or if you have a school or anything like that. Even, you know, Washington Apple Pie uses iStock photos in some of your promotional brochures. Sometimes in your magazine or on the website, you will see an image. On the CD, the cherry blossom image on the CD, if you're going to get the pie filling CD, that's an iStock photo image. So it's a really great resource. And one of the fabulous things is it's affordable. Images and photographs are $1 to $15. They are priced according to the pixel dimensions, so you only buy the size that you need. If it's just going to go on a website, you only need to spend maybe $1 or $2. If you're going to print it out really high quality, maybe you need to spend $6 or $10. If you're going to blow it up poster size, you might need to spend $15 on it. We also have illustrations. They're priced according to complexity. The most expensive one is $40. I've yet to come across one that's more than $5. So that's really good. We also have video. So if you ever need motion graphics for anything, stock video clips, we've got tons of those as well. So it's a great resource. Let me show you the website really quickly. These guys came to me when I was teaching out at Macworld several years ago, and they offered to let me use their images in any of my tutorials. They said, do you want to? And I'm like, well, how much is it going to cost? I'm like, nothing. It's free. Just tell people where you got the images. Excellent. So most of the Photoshop book authors and stuff, you'll see their screenshots. Almost all of them are using the iStock photo images. Just great. We have about 37,000 some odd photographers based all over the world. Anybody can sign up to be a contributor. And if people purchase your photographs, you make money. You start out with royalties of 20%, and then as the popularity of your portfolio increases, your royalties can go up all the way to about 50%. So it's a great place not only for people who need imagery for various projects, but for people who are artists or photographers who are creating the imagery. It's this really wonderful reciprocal business model. So this is the site. If you ever need an image, let's just say we were going to search for an image of a cherry blossom, you just type in what you think would describe the photo. The fewer words you type in, the more results you're going to get. You can choose to search just the photographs, just the illustrations, just flash, or just video. Let's look at the photos here. Click go, and you're immediately presented with thumbnails of the photos that match the words that you typed in. You just hover over a thumbnail. Brings up a nice enlargement of the image, so you can kind of see if you're interested in it before you click through to another page. Some really beautiful stuff in here. So if you were interested in this image, then you would click once on it. It's going to load a page that's about that image. You can see how many times it's been downloaded, how many times it's been looked at, the photographer that took it, the community's rating. We have a community of about 1 million people on the site. 1 million people, that's both contributors and people who are downloading the images. I can see what sizes the photo is available in. Not every photo is available in the same size, because since anybody can be a contributor, they're all shooting with different cameras. Okay, the minimum camera is, I think, a 4-megapixel camera.
for you to upload images. And of course, there's some people shooting with some really high end Canon Mark III's and things like that. So you just pick the size you want. It tells you how much money it's going to cost you. One credit equals about $1. So you buy a packet of credits and then you download photos against that packet of credits. So it's really easy. No subscription. No nothing. Just buy the imager that you need. So I use it all the time. And I'm going to show you some creative ways to use stock imagery with your own images. We're going to be focusing on Photoshop Elements today in the tutorials that I'm going to show you. How many people are using Elements now? Quite a few. How many Photoshop users do we have? Quite a few too. Okay, almost about half and half. You'll find about equal amount of tutorials on my side of each. First, I want to show you a few things that I'm going to give away. As you were coming in, there's a bookmark somewhere. Every one of you should have gotten one of these fabulous bookmarks. They're not just any bookmark, though, no. At the bottom of every one of them, there's a unique code, and that code is good for 5 free images from iStock Photo. Okay, so you've got 5 images right there for you. So these bookmarks are up at the welcome table at the very front. You've got some right there, too. My card is over here on the table, like I said. I also have tons of... These are the most fabulous glass cleaners in the world. They're little iStock Photo lens cloths. They're great for lenses, cameras, and eyeglasses. So feel free to pick these up. We also have a lot of faith-based imagery on the site. We have over about 1.6 million images right now. So if any of you are affiliated with any churches or any kind of religious entity that might need imagery, affordable imagery, grab one of these brochures over here. Each one of these brochures is good for 25 images. We've made a little collection of some of our most popular faith-based images. So if you're affiliated with an organization like that, be sure to grab one of these and take it back to whoever does the graphics at your church or organization. I also have a couple of Adobe. Probably don't do it. I've got 3 certificates for 10 images, 10 I stock credit. And I went by David Pope's house before we came, and he started throwing books in my car. And he signed each and every one of these books. We've got some new ones, and we've got some vintage ones, so we need those for you as well.
Lots of good stuff. I like to gift my audience with lots of free stuff. Okay.
Before you get started, I have a question.
Sure.
The remote that you're using to switch slides, what is that?
This is a Keyspan?
Yeah, it's a Keyspan presentation remote.
Thank you.
It's also this is also what we're using at home. We don't have an Apple TV yet. We have an extra Mac Mini that we're using as an Apple TV. So Sean sits on the couch and he moves the mouse around to go to the next movie with this. It's kind of funny to watch him do that.
It's that remote. It's an RF remote. So you don't have to point it at the receiver,
So, Elements 4. Unfortunately, Elements 5 is out for the PC, but it's not out for the Macintosh yet. Adobe assures me that will be forthcoming. But a lot of great things happen in Elements 4. Elements is such a powerful program. A lot of people, especially photographers that are just getting into digital imaging, will ask me, do I really need to spend $700 on Photoshop? The answer is absolutely not. Elements is so powerful. It's $80. I mean, it's super affordable, and it's a great program. And starting with Elements version 4, it comes with Adobe Bridge. The same Adobe Bridge that comes with Creative Suite. Okay, it is the full-blown version. There are a couple of features that I've yet to find out which ones that are missing from the Elements Bridge that are in the Photoshop Bridge, but I've never missed them. I don't know which ones they are. So Bridge is really, think of it sort of like an iPhoto. It's a way to organize, share, and export your images. You can do almost anything you can do in iPhoto within Bridge. You can choose different ways to view the photos. This is just a thumbnail view. I can, have a larger image at the top and then have my library down here at the bottom. However you want to look at them, just like iPhoto, I can control the size of my thumbnails. And anytime you click on an image, you get all kinds of data about it over here on the left-hand side. I get all the metadata. I can see what kind of camera this photo was shot with. If the flash was on, if it was off. Way more information than I've ever wanted to know. You can navigate to any folder I've just pointed to my pictures folder here and into my iPhoto library. So Bridge is a really fabulous tool. You can label your photos, you can rate your photos, and you know, most of the things that you can do in iPhoto, you can apply batch commands to them. I can send them all to a contact sheet if I wanted to print out thumbnails of all of them. I can make a slideshow right from Bridge, create a picture package, which we're going to look at picture package here in just a minute. I can create a web photo gallery. I can do oodles and gobs of things just right here in Bridge. So Bridge itself is pretty darn powerful. You can even do some raw format processing right here in Elements in Bridge. Elements 4 does support raw files. So if you're shooting in raw, that's a big deal for you. So that's just a little bit about Bridge. And of course you can rotate photos, all kinds of good things like that. So let's just get out of Bridge real quick here. Let's take a look at another new tool in Elements 4. When you first open Elements, you're going to have all these palettes over here on the right-hand side. Feel free to just close them up to kind of get them out of your way. My Layers palette is hiding. There it is. There it comes. There's my Layers palette down at the bottom. So just kind of turn the triangle up and hide the ones that you want. I mainly use the Layers palette and the Styles and Effects palette over here on the right-hand side. Let us say that when Sean and I were out canoeing, it's really kind of hard to see. Oh well. While we were out canoeing, we didn't have our lovely dog with us. Let's say that we have a picture of our lovely dog over here, and we want to pop her into the canoe. I didn't have a dog, so I went out and bought one on iStockPhoto for $1. It's really cheap, cheaper than dog food. This is Snowball. Snowball, this is everybody. So Elements has a great tool to use to extract her from the background. So we can do neat things with her, like put her into another photo and look like she was sort of there to begin with. So let's take a look at that. The tool is called the Magic Extractor, and it lives up under the Image menu. So I'm just going to go Image, Magic Extractor. And the point of this tool is I need to tell Elements the edges of what I want to knock out, okay? I need to scribble onto the background, and I'm going to scribble onto the foreground. So I'm going to tell Elements what I want to keep and what I want to throw away. And it does a really fantastic job of it. When you first open it up, it comes prepared for you to tell it what the foreground is. The foreground is what you want to keep. So I'm just going to scroll over here to my image, and it uses a brush cursor. Can you see the little round brush? Anytime you have the brush cursor, a couple of my favorite keyboard shortcuts, and I will give you a lot of them. The left bracket key and the right bracket key. The right bracket key increases your brush size. The left bracket key decreases your brush size. It's really handy. So the point here is to just scribble. Make any shape line you want. The point is to just touch all the different colors of the bits you want to keep. And I'm just making some arbitrary swatches over here. I could scribble any way I wanted to. It's a little challenging with trackpad. Okay, so now I've told it what's my foreground. Let me touch her pink tongue. Now I'm going to come over here to the background highlighter, and it's got a tiny little minus sign below it. Can you guys see the little minus sign? So now I'm going to scribble onto the background area. Click that one. And I'm just going to make some marks as well as I can with this trackpad. And that's all I'm going to do. Now I'm going to go over here and press preview. And we're going to see how good a job it does. So it's going to go through here and it's going to look at the area I marked as the background, the area I marked as the foreground. Photoshop has the same tool. It's called the Extract Filter, but I like it better in Elements. In Photoshop, I would have had to physically take a highlighter and draw around every single edge. I would have had to very carefully trace the whole image, the part I wanted to keep. But in Elements, you just make these little scribble marks, these little hash marks, and it does a really good job. I mean, that's pretty amazing. We've got a couple of areas to clean up, but luckily we have the tools right in here before we exit this dialog box. You've got a couple of tools right here on the left, Add to Selection and Remove from Selection. Okay, so let's click the Add to Selection brush and come over here and I see it's doing the exact opposite of what I want to do. It's adding more back to the image. So let's click the remove from selection brush. And I can go in here and really quickly clean up my image. I can zoom in using Command Plus. Press the space bar down to get a little hand cursor so you can move around while you're zoomed in. And depending upon, you know, who this image was for, you know, I could really scroll in here and get very detailed. Spend a lot of time cleaning this image up, but I won't do that. I'm just going to clean a little bit of her up right here. Switch back to the Add to Selection. Bring back this area right here. And you can do some experimentation. I could have pressed Command-Z for undo and gone back and maybe used a smaller brush when I made my scribble marks. That might make the selection come out a little bit cleaner. So it's a little bit of trial and error with it, but it's so easy to use. And you saw how fast that was. I mean, we weren't even really being careful. We also have an edge tool. If I zoom in really far, you can see that some of the edges are a little jaggedy, like right down here on her tongue. Well, that's what this tool right here is for. It's called a smoothing brush, and you use it to smooth the edges of your selection. You've got a little crosshair looking aspect to the brush. So the point is to just put your brush half on and half off your selection, and it'll come in here and it will just smooth out those edges. So it does a really good job. So let's say that we're happy with that. Press OK. And now we've got Snowball knocked out of her background. Well, now we can drag her into another photo. So let's drag her into the canoe. I'm just moving the document down so I can see both windows at the same time. And from my layers palette, I'm just going to click and drag into the image. Now, as soon as that, do you see that border turning dark black around the edges? As soon as you get that dark black border, you can let go. And the image is going to end up in there. So now I've got both pictures in there. I'm going to grab my move tool, move her down a little bit. She's a little big for the canoe. Might need to bring her down in size a little bit. Anytime you want to resize an object, it's very, very easy. Just remember, free transform. You want to transform, you want to change the size of the image. Command T is a keyboard shortcut, or you can also hop up to the edit menu. I meant the file menu. Where is free transform? I mean the image menu. Transform. Free transform. I will do my best to speak louder, but I have a very soft voice. So so image transform, free transform. I'm a fan of keyboard shortcuts, so I always just press Command T. So now I'm going to grab any of the corner handles, and if I hold the shift key down, that's going to cause her to resize proportionately so she doesn't get all whoppy-jawed and stretched out, thin in some places and wide in other places. So holding down the shift key, I'm just going to pull in, drag inward, and until I get her the right size that I want. When I'm finished, press return to accept the transform, to accept the resize, and I still have the move tool selected so I can move her around in the canoe wherever I would like. She's a little too big still, so bring her down in size just a little bit more. This is so much fun to do kind of wacky things like this. I mean, think of the possibilities at family reunion photos. You could take this one's head off of this one, put it on this one's body. I mean, tons of fun to be had with this type of thing. Once you know how to extract an image from its background and move it into another image, loads of fun. So, her coloring is off just a little bit. And also, I've got an area over here where she's covering up my arm. I could simply just